This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a big night in Toronto. The Raptors in action down at Scotiabank. Kawhi Leonard, the board man, is back in town. Spoke with the media earlier today. He will receive his ring just before 7 o'clock. And he said, I expect some cheers when the game starts or when I get announced. And then I'll probably get some boos because the Raptor fans aren't going to cheer for a guy on the other team. And I think that's probably a reasonable expectation.
It is fair.
He doesn't play for the Raptors anymore. You're not going to go down there and hope that the Clippers win.
If he nails a buzzer beater or something, you're going to be pissed,
it's
right?
It's crushing.
Yeah.
It's crushing. Like, I had a different feeling when Dwayne Casey came back because I thought he got burned a little bit.
Right.
You know, they moved on from him. They kind of blamed him for not being able to beat LeBron. Meanwhile, we knew they had to change the makeup of the team.
Right.
And they did that. DeMar left. Kawhi came in. They acquired Gasol at the trade deadline.
Didn't Dwayne Casey have a last-minute victory when he came back?
They did. They won on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
And he went crazy. Remember, he was jumping in the air.
Oh, he ran on court.
Yeah, and I had no problem with that. Like, I celebrated that. I'm like, he's with Detroit now. He's in a worse spot.
Brian.
The Raptors are fine.
I was just going to say, and he's your guy.
He's like, my guy.
You are the voice of, what is
you,
it?
You represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
Yeah. Hey, man. I'm not going to fight him on
that. There's a lot of high-powered people that believe that you are the voice and all the captain, all sorts of things.
Right.
So you're right. Like,
I hold many titles.
But he's right. Like, I mean, not he's right, but you're right. Like, celebrate it.
Celebrate that. Because
exactly. He
got fired and he downgraded in Detroit. And the Raptors were clearly in a better spot. And that win or loss meant nothing to them.
Right.
This is very different. Kawhi left as a free agent. People were dying for him to stick around. The Clippers are as good, if not better, than the Raptors are. And it means more to the Raptors than it does Kawhi. Kawhi doesn't need a win tonight. He'd like one.
Well, if I had one question, if I was Bob from Horse and Hound and was assigned to that scrum today, I would have asked him, why the hell did you fly up here? What was going on in that transaction? Like, what? Because when CP24 helicopter was doing the OJ chase, was that fair to say?
Yeah.
Because it was national news.
Right.
We were all watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have bet my house that he'd flown up here to sign.
I fell for it. I fell right into the trap. I thought it was over.
All I want to know is why did you fly? And it may have been something as classy as I wanted to look them in the eyes, shake their hand, and say thank you for the opportunity, but I'm moving on.
I don't think he'd lie about it. I don't think he'd lie.
Okay,
I don't think he'd say I was killing time for the Paul George deal, but that's what he was doing.
Right.
That's what he was doing. He was killing time to let the Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder work out the deal for Paul George so he could pull the trigger and sign with the Clippers.
Or was he leaning on them saying, get it done or I'm on a bird to Toronto?
Probably going both ways. Hey, I'm telling you, this is the only way I'm coming here.
Right.
Which maybe he was going to go there anyway.
Right.
But you got to get this done. It was a brilliant showing of, you know, tradesmanship and just working the market.
But I mean,
Kawhi had the
whole uncle. Regardless of what you think of his uncle, he
played the whole NBA like a fiddle,
beautifully.
Fiddle.
Yeah.
The Raptors, the Lakers, and Clippers were bending over backwards for this guy. Would do anything for him, and he goes, "I want to play in LA with Paul George on this team."
Yeah,
and that's exactly what happened. And then afterwards, he goes, "Oh, I'm not signing 4 years."
Yeah.
2 years.
Exactly. So we can do this over
so
again.
So we can do it all over again in 2 years.
In case I don't like what I'm seeing.
Right.
But that's, I just want him, and you. I agree. I think he's an honest guy. He may say, yeah, like I was stretching out time, or he may say I wanted to shake their hands and say goodbye.
Maybe. But he didn't officially say goodbye.
Now, you said it happened through a text.
He sent a text out July 6th at like 2 in the morning Eastern time saying, I'm going home. That's what happened.
Nurse that.
He sent a text to the whole team.
Yeah.
Three words. I'm going home. How do you respond to that?
Imagine you're like out at a club or something.
New number.
Kawhi's out. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure the boys knew. Like, they probably would have said.
Enjoy. Probably had a sense.
I think they had a pretty good read on it. Anyway, Al's brother will be in studio at 5:30 with Jerry's Percentages. He's representing Jerry today at 5:30. Ray Ferraro coming up here in just a moment. The Leafs with a big win last night, and Freddie Anderson, that's as locked in as I've seen anybody play in a long time.
The first glove save on Besser looked like
nothing.
It looked like you playing net in road hockey. Just ripped it out like confidence. Like, you're right. And there's always a saying for me when I watch goaltenders, like, they're seeing the puck. He saw everything. And what I mean by that is he was so dialed in. His body language was like, even the redirects, there was some really nice high tips and stuff.
Hasn't he sniffed around and got himself into the Vezina conversation? He's got to be, doesn't he?
But he had some bumps. I haven't even looked at his numbers.
I get
to be honest.
But when you think about goalies in the league.
Well, consistency-wise, like right now, he has to be at least in the top five, let's say. Like, because we're missing somebody who's got ridiculous stats. Probably those Islander goaltenders and all of that. Like,
Hellebuck
missing,
is doing,
you know,
some...
Washington. Hellebuck has been brilliant.
I'm just saying, he's got to be making a statement where a game like
well,
that.
Well, you continue on like that.
Absolutely.
That's what it takes. Games like that, and you start getting your name out there. Like, what a performance.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that gets points for his team. That's how the discussion starts.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
And
he deserves it.
He deserves it. I think when you compare and contrast him with the backup, where when Freddie's in the net, they're like cruising to like a 110-point season, like easily in the playoffs. And when the backup's in, they're the worst team in the league, based on point percentage.
It.
They have 1 point. Seven starts, they have 1 point with the backup.
Yeah.
Now, it's not all on the backup.
No.
Just like it's not all on Freddie. I mean, again, I think it's deceptive to say that Freddie's the only reason they won last night. He was unbelievable.
Right.
But I thought they played pretty well, and I thought their playmaking ability was on display last night. When they had the puck, their puck movement, their special teams have been pretty good.
That was such a fine line, Brian, in the National Hockey League, because your statement right there, and I thought they played pretty well, too.
I thought they
but
were
if
just
two
good.
Of those two of the three breakaways go in, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, like I
told you 100 times, and Jamie was a goaltender. It's amazing how much the goaltender can make you stop watching video. Like, he makes those saves. He has saved those guys who ever screwed up or coughed up the puck, because it's like, great game, guys, great intensity. Our offense was on fire. But if they lose that game, you're sitting in the dressing room before practice today saying,
well,
this is a mess.
That one in a nutshell. Willie gave up the breakaway. Did you see what he did after?
Oh, he did the tap of the pad.
Gave the tap. I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, listen, he goes to advance the puck, it hits a skate and goes the other way. It happens. But he was kind of busting his ass. And then you would know this probably better than anybody. If you're chasing a breakaway, there's only so much you can do. You're just watching like us. You're involved in it, but you're like, God, I hope
a certain amount where I'm like, I can't affect this play or not. You just don't want to embarrass yourself. Where if there's a rebound, you're
right,
like,
you got to keep your legs moving.
Yeah,
right?
you got to
for a rebound.
And Willie did that, but Freddie rips that out of the air, makes it look easy, and Willie taps him on the pads and goes, "Thanks, dude. That's on me."
The amazing thing about those three breakaways the Leafs gave up in the third period when they had the lead, all three D pairings were on the ice.
Separate.
For one of them.
Right.
The first one was Muzzin and Hall. The second was Riley and Barry. The third was Dermott and CeCe. Yeah. All three of them. So you can either say it's a balanced ineptitude or unlucky, whatever you want to say.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good hockey last night.
Oh, I thought it was a great game.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Have you ever seen a team in the third period with the lead give up three clear-cut breakaways?
Three breakaways is tough to do in a game. You're asking, you guys, remember my history. Have I seen three breakaways, period?
In Atlanta.
Yeah, true.
That was like, hey, pretty good day. We really locked it down. Now, the Nylander breakaway was, okay, he banked it off of Aberg's foot, right? And so, like, there was a, you know, all three of them were within about 6 feet there. So somebody was in the wrong place, and they turned it over. The one that went out wide, I think that was that the second Besser one? That Riley and Barry were up the ice. And they weren't staggered. And, you know, it's a good pass, but still, man, they're in again. And so I always, think of that? Like, so you've been beat trying to go top glove. So does the goalie noodles think, okay, he went top glove there, he's not going there again? Because he's got to know what's Besser again, right?
Yeah, I think he was in his head a little bit. You could almost see Besser think, like, I better not go there because he thinks I'm going to go there. And then he tries to go blocker. And I don't know if you were listening, but before you came on, like, Freddie looked like he was out for a Sunday stroll. He made everything look so easy last night. That's as dialed in as I've ever seen him on certain plays. Like, he was brilliant when he needed to be, put it that way.
Yeah, but look at the goal he gave up. It's like a cluster, you know what, in front of the net, and eventually, you know, he just doesn't quite get his glove on it, but everybody's flailing away at it. I thought he was fantastic last night. That was a good game. That was like really good hockey to watch.
It was
watch.
A fun game.
I thought they were going to challenge the goal because I thought he had it.
And Pearson, I think, was stabbing
away
at him.
And jabbed at his hand and his left pad. I thought there may have been a case. They didn't show the overhead, so I didn't have a look. But I thought at that time with how things were going with Freddie, I thought he may have got the benefit of the doubt. They obviously saw different angles, so I didn't. But it looked close to being, for me, challenged.
I thought the big picture of the whole game was entertaining.
Very
fan of both teams. I mean, you saw the skill. You saw the best players making the best plays. I mean, I don't know how you get much better than that. Ray?
Well, really, like the difference was the best players, right? Like, yeah. Toronto's best guy scored and Vancouver's didn't. You know, Besser, and they had the right guys, too. Like, Besser has two breakaways. Pettersson hit the crossbar a couple times. Hughes was fantastic last night.
He's good.
And Horvat hit a post.
He's really good.
Like, they had the right guys getting the thing. It just, they couldn't finish.
Ray, there was a lot of Leaf fans there last night, but overall, I was looking at the crowd. Was there not a full building there? It looked kind of skittish as far as attendance.
No, it's announced as a sellout. I mean, it's really kind of weird sometimes now. I find anyway, you'll see it announced as a sellout. Tickets are sold. Maybe some people don't use them. Maybe some people are wandering out in the suites and the, you know, the extra perks they get for the, the big ticket seats, and but I thought it was loud. I don't know. I guess I didn't notice it as much.
Yeah.
I just assumed that, you know, it was announced as a sellout. There's no way there's not a ticket, there's no way there was a ticket available last night with Toronto here. That just never happened.
The energy, you could feel it. I mean, it was picking up through the screen here in Toronto, and. You know, like you said, it was the best players that were on display. Like, I thought in the first period, Quinn Hughes was behind the Leafs net more than Leafs defenseman. Like, he's all over the ice and floating around. He plays without a pulse.
When he got drafted, Brian, and he went up there, he looked like he was 5'8", 135 pounds.
He looked like Marner.
But do you remember?
I'm like, what the hell, Jimmy Benning, have you done? And I watched him in the World Juniors that year in Buffalo, and I'm like, kind of a skilled guy, but I don't know. I don't really see it. Now you watch him now, it's like, this guy, I don't know if there's 10 better D-men in the league than him.
How about the play he makes when he's walking along the blue line and he passes it to himself?
Yeah.
He's
and you're
so
like, who,
good.
Who's got the guts to do that?
No kidding. No, he's new-aged, man. Like that, 30 years ago, but, coach says don't ever do that again.
But you know what?
Lou Brown.
Playing a game like that last night, he knew. Like, I don't think he tries that against the Bruins. They play a different style. I think somebody on the Bruins runs through him there, where the Leafs play a really skilled game, and he's like, I'm going to jump in this skill too. I'm going to put my skill on display. So I think he has to be certainly aware of who's on the ice, but he played the game that the Leafs were playing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Like
he was fine with it.
The individual player, though, like you look at his edge work and the way he moves around the ice.
Fantastic.
His passing ability, his just, I don't know, that is an unreal. I don't know if there's 10 better defensemen in the NHL than that guy.
I've seen him play in the NHL probably 35 times, right? Because he played a few games last year or thereabouts, close to it. And I don't recall him getting hit.
Yeah,
more than once or twice.
I don't want to get stupid, Ray, but there's a little bit of a Lidstrom element to him where he understands where to go. He's not going to get run over, and his hockey sense and his smarts and his edge work is just going to He just controls it with that, and it's unbelievable.
I thought he got bonked last night, though. Didn't somebody bonk?
Hyman, but yeah. It was kind of a weird play. It was like they fell into the boards.
Yeah, because he was laboring a little bit, but I didn't think that was a clean like a clear hit.
No,
like, I think it was more of a collision type.
Yeah,
of
it
thing.
Was. It wasn't. They didn't catch him.
Ole mentioned Lidstrom. I think there's a little Duncan Keith in him too. Like when the puck gets dumped into his corner, he goes back, and so he doesn't take a hit. He like gets on one hand on his stick and he one hand shovel passes it to his partner, but he still doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, he's just, you know, like you watch him and his brother skate, and I guess the third one, Luke, is like a bigger Quinn.
Really?
And so, like, I guess he's really great too. And so, whatever Jim and Ellen did when they were raising those kids, they're also fantastic kids, by the way. But Vancouver's got a building block here that just fell into their lap at number 7 in the draft.
Oh, Quinn Hughes, he's the defensive Pettersson. Like, that's what it is. You got Pettersson up front, and you got Hughes on the back end, and you build around those two guys. And I think, you know, again, we talked about Anderson and how well he played, but we've seen that a fair amount of times this year. The biggest story for me last night was Tavares showing up. Yeah. That's who we saw for 82 games a year ago. Like, that's the guy who scored 47. His puck pursuit was outstanding last night. He was on the right side of it. You know, those two goals, that's him in a nutshell. It's his hand eye is off the charts, and if you give him some time around the net, it's in.
Yeah, that was his second goal, to interrupt. I thought that was a beauty because he placed it perfectly just above the right pad inside the post.
That was the Messier wrister, just inside the
deception.
Post.
Deception. The goalie thinks he's going glove. He leans a little bit.
Has no chance. Knew he had time, made him wait.
It was a beauty.
He played great last night.
I thought that
night.
Was great, yeah.
Yeah, his but him and Matthews, I thought, were just, like, so good last night. Matthews made a couple of slick moves coming in off the right wing. Like, his hands were just, he was locked in, too, last night. And you're right, Tavares was, that's probably, has he played a better game this year?
No, not even close.
I don't think so.
Not even close.
Not just with the production either. It's just like the way he plays. Of course, the production goes hand in hand with it. But, man, he's been, you know, he's been okay. And you know there's more. And then all of a sudden he plays like that. And you're like, holy, that was amazing.
Well Ray, after his hand injury, he had some games where you're like, This is less than okay. There was kind of like,
no, he was just out there.
No, he was wandering around out there, and you're like, what the hell's going on?
His timing looked off. He did look like he was chasing the play, where last night he wasn't chasing the play.
But he's back on track, and he's dialed in right now.
Well, they'll need it tomorrow, right?
No kidding. When you pay guys $10 and $11 million, you have to perform like that,
right?
And if people think that we're like nitpicking, saying, "Oh, Tavares wasn't good" or "Marner wasn't good," I don't think Marner was great last night either, but. When you're paying guys like that, they have to be good every night. Three of the four got to be dialed in.
Well, you've got such a chunk of change tied up, they have to be. On that note, though, like as far as, you know, chewing up the cap and all that, what about the player Justin Hall's turning into? Like, he played 11 games a couple of years ago. Like, he was just sitting around. Right, and now you're looking at him, and you're like, man, he can play. He looks like he can play in the number 4 hole. He skates well. He's big, and you're like, and he's $675,000. Like, they need players to be good players that make $675,000.
Well, and
the only problem is when they say, you know what, I'm better than $675,000, and then you got a problem.
Well, he's unrestricted. He's unrestricted. There's 5 of them.
Yeah, there's
5.
There's a bunch of
Marty
them.
Moran.
If he's unrestricted, somebody will pay him 1.7 next year.
Well, maybe. I mean, that might happen, but I think he has probably benefited from Sheldon Keefe showing up more than anybody else, because Keefe coached him for like 3.5 years. And you're right, Ray. I'm glad you brought him up. It was an unassuming, effective game. There was no end-to-end rushes or breaking up 2-on-1s in heroic fashion.
But it was a right-handed shot.
Just
that did
solid.
His job and moved the puck and got out of trouble and did his job.
He played well, and that was like Dubas clearly saw it, and Babcock didn't, which is fine. But Babcock was the coach, so he didn't play.
Right.
And Dubas
now,
committed to him.
He keeps playing like this. He's going to get an interesting. Set of circumstances float his way that he probably last year would have never thought was possible. He's an unrestricted free agent. What if the Leafs say, man, we'd like him, but man, one of you said 1.7. Like, man, if he's can he be as good as Michael Kempney? Kempney signed 4 years, $10 million when Washington won.
Yeah, Kempney's.
Doesn't this scream though? Like, if these are the kind of deals
when you can't get stupid because you'll hate it.
No, but we're like next week on Friday, 2 year extension, $1.1 million. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like they'll get out in front of it. Yeah, and they're like, I think he's going to keep going, so let's get it done now.
Yeah,
I could see that.
So do you think he would have had that in his mindset when he was eating popcorn 80 times last year?
No, he probably thought I'm going to the Marlies again.
Right.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
No,
I
it's agree. Very true. He's been good. And, you know, they're in Calgary tomorrow night. And it sure seems like Calgary's back. Like, are they the best team in the division again? Or
six in a row.
Yeah, what's up with this
crazy
team?
I mean, they're scoring 4 goals a game. Their goals against has been better. The only thing that hasn't been good for them is their penalty killing. But, I'm going in to do the game. And, you know, so it's watching them play Arizona, and they ran out of gas last night, back-to-back nights after a really fast, hard game in Colorado, and Cam Talbot was fantastic.
Yeah, that's two in a row for him. He's actually given them some points in some games which they needed, because early on in the season I was quite concerned about him because he was looking like Cam Talbot from last year.
And you got to give some credit to just the idea of, and I'm not piling on Bill Peters not being there, but guys going to the rink and being energized and not being like, oh, God, what's this guy saying today?
Think of the turmoil they've been in. You have a love teammate drop and have a medical episode right in front of you. You have no idea how that happened or whatever.
TJ Brody.
Brody. Then you have out of left field a coach, not of your control, you're just playing. Have a coach in that scenario, even though I think we all could argue that Billy Peters was on thin ice as a coach anyways based on how the team was performing. So you have Brody come back, and you have Jeff Ward, who stepped in and done a very good job there, and a new kind of new voice and laid-back guy. And then you're starting to get some production. Like, did you see Zach Rinaldo scoring in back-to-back games? And Milan Lucic, 3 goals in 4 games. And, you're not
starting to break your way a little bit.
Exactly. You're not staring just at Johnny Gaudreau and going, okay, when are you going to score? We're going to lose a bunch of games.
Well, and some of that goes to Ward as well, because he changed the lineup pretty significantly. Once he took over, they played that first game. I think they were all just trying to get through it. They won it. And then after that, Michael Backlund's never played the wing before. Now he's playing left wing with Sean Monahan.
Right.
He made a beautiful touch pass to Monahan's goal. They call up Zach Rinaldo, who they signed to kind of be an up-and-down guy and maybe play in the minors. And, man, he's given them not just the last 2 games, but he's played a really effective role for them. Derek Ryan's come off the mat a bit. Lucic came off. He was dead flat on the mat. And now he's got 3 goals, too. So they move some lines around. They change some people around. There's they win a couple of games. Now they start to feel, hey, we can do this. And so I would think tomorrow would be another game that's got a chance to be really entertaining. You got a team that's red hot. They're 6-0-1, 6 straight that they've won. And they're feeling good about themselves. And the Leafs should be feeling good about their game after the win last night. They'd certainly like to tighten up the breakaways and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-0 on this trip so far.
What game do you think Freddie will get?
I think he's going to play both.
I would play them both, but you keep hearing Sheldon saying you're going to take away one start. What start would you give him?
Where? You want to throw him in against McDavid? No. Against Calgary that lost... No, it's just...
Well, that's what I
last
think you're
night
right
was the play, I think. I mean, but...
Did they win last night if he's in net?
Well, probably not.
That's right.
I think you've got it.
I don't think they're going to win when he plays.
Position where you're like, if we put that guy in, our chance of winning, and I'm not a numbers guy, but it's like, what, 15%, 10?
And I hate
it's
to say this.
It's a major problem.
I was guilty of it last night. I'm scoreboard watching now because... You've been pretty good, yeah.
Not bad. Sick?
Not bad.
But I'm scoreboard watching because, you know, I know there's still 50 games left, but you're like, oh, Montreal picked up a win and Buffalo went. You know, like you're almost like, these are must-win games to kind of stay in the pack.
Well, it is. I don't know how you would be able to say, yeah, this is the game he should play. Because how do you have any faith that the game you're going to get is going to be anywhere near good enough? But they've got to, you know, Freddie can't play 72 games this year. Like, they're going to have to find a way to jump off the deep end and say, okay, we either need another goalie or he's going to have to play again. Right? Like, there is no other choice.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's the top priority in the organization. You've got to find a backup somehow, some way, and it better happen sooner than later. It's that simple. All right, buddy, we'll catch you in Calgary tomorrow night.
Talk to you then, and congratulations getting back off your deathbed, son. I mean, that was really impressive. We were worried.
Elmer Fudd worthy?
No, Ray. I told these two idiots I should be up for the Masterton for being... no other person in Ontario would be at work today. Feeling.
No other person.
I'm not kidding you.
Nobody, Ray.
I have a fever of 125, and I'm coughing, and I can't hardly talk, and I showed up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
FUD. The FUD.
Yeah. The Elmer FUD.
You're getting the FUD.
Yeah.
This is FUD worthy.
It's very FUD.
I'm bringing in my Masterton for you tomorrow. You're going to have it.
Set it beside me. Can I take it home for a day?
It's got tarnish on it. I don't know how to clean it. It's terrible.
Oh, he'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. It'll be in his trunk.
Give it to O. He'll figure it out. Yeah.
He's a FUD winner now.
Exactly.
He'll figure it out. All right, buddy.
We'll talk to you then, boys, later.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive $500 Vaughn Mills gift cards when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. Al's brother promoting it on Twitter. Not tune into the show from 4 to 7. Just listen at 5:30. Because Al's brother will be in studio with Jerry's Percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages brought to you by BPC. Best Portuguese chicken from two people to 300. Let BPC Best Portuguese Chicken do the cooking. 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca.
They just fonted him as Al's brother.
Al's brother's in studio. Turtleneck. Optional,
sure,
but you're wearing it.
Swelter.
Yeah, I figured.
Right now
you look like you are well insulated.
Can we please font him again? Font him again. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Have
in
the
life.
Font up for if we can the
if
whole
can,
time.
I don't know. I
just Al's brother.
There it is.
There it is. Brian Hayes, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie McLennan, Al's brother. All right, so Jerry pulled the pin, but emailed you personally and said, I need you to... I hope he's paying you for this.
100%.
Okay, so you're getting paid in something. And he's got an opening statement, I assume, and everything, and you're just going to read it off?
Opening statement?
He's got an opening statement, and he wants Al's brother to read it for him.
Word for word.
Word for word. Go ahead. You're up.
It was on this day in 1992 where the world stopped and looked directly at Jerry. It was on this day in 1992 the NHL became a legitimate sports league. It was on this day in 1992 when Jerry added commissioner to his nameplate. And the rest is history, you filthy, filthy pigeons.
Today was
is
the
that
day.
Necessary for us?
Jerry sent it. Don't talk to me. Ask Jerry. Shoot him an email. Today was the day he officially got announced as the first commissioner in league history.
Impressive.
Took over officially on February 1st, 93, but it was December 11th, 92, and Jerry wants the world to know that.
Love it.
All right. You got some hot takes over there?
I do.
House brother? All right.
Kawhi Leonard puts on a clinic tonight and scores 30 or more points, and then kawhines and dines at Jerry's favorite gentleman's club, and you know exactly what I mean.
Are you saying that or Jerry saying that?
Yeah. Both.
Okay. So Kawhi's going to kawhine and dine at a club tonight, And you know exactly what I mean.
I'm saying 85% because he even said, I didn't last night, but you never know after the game.
Yeah.
That means he's kawining and dining.
Yeah, but is that tied to Drake?
I don't think he gives two you-know-whats to hang out with Drake.
I think you'd be surprised by that.
I feel like that there's a post-game party planned.
Well, he said today that he had not been back since the parade, but I'm pretty sure he was here for Caravana. I'm pretty sure he was spotted in town. I think he was out with Drake that weekend. But 30-plus is, I think, the take, technically. I don't know if he's hitting 30.
What did he get last time, 12?
Yeah, it wasn't much, man. It was low numbers. They kept him under 15. I think they're after him tonight.
I thought he...
I'm going to say 30%.
Yeah.
I say 80%.
83%.
Kyle's brother?
Yeah, 30's a bit. I think the defense comes through. I'll go 42%.
All right. Do we have any more takes over there, courtesy of Jerry, Al's brother?
Certainly do.
Okay.
Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid will play for Canada at least once before Crosby retires.
0%. It's not happening. They're not doing it. They're not going over there.
I'm not going to China.
They said maybe World Cup in 2024. That's 4 years down the road.
Crosby, how many years does Crosby have left?
Well, he's 32 now. He'll be 36.
He's 40. You said that.
40 years old?
Yes, for sure. You believe he's playing till 40.
I think
40.
He will, too. But, like, as much as I love Sid, is he a lock to make Canada when he's in his late 30s?
Sidney Crosby's not playing until he's 40 years old.
Okay,
I hate to tell you that.
Well, maybe he won't, then. But there's not even a guarantee there'll be a World Cup in 2024.
I'm going to say 50% these guys actually play together. It's a shame.
Such a bummer if they don't play in the same team. They should be... They should have played in 2018 on the same team. Can you imagine Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon? Can you imagine a line of McDavid, McKinnon, throw anybody you want on the left side?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that line? I'm going to say 55%, though.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen in 4 years.
I think if they play, that would be the first line. Crosby in the middle, McDavid on the left, and McKinnon on the right.
Imagine trying to stop that. Imagine coming up with a game plan for that line. Like, yeah, I think
you know
just,
what it is.
You know, get
it's
pucks
the team
in deep.
Switzerland coach. That's basically
we have no shot.
We have no shot.
Right.
Basically, but I'm going to
biggest,
go,
the strongest, and we have no chances.
Yeah, I'm going to say 78%. I think there's a good chance.
Al's brother.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on this too. I think even higher. I'm going to go 83%. They said 2024. Could be a potential possibility, and that would only put him to, what, 36?
Yeah.
I think you could make an international team at that age.
Okay. All right. All right, Al's brother. What else we got over there?
All right. We got another one here. Those greasy little cheats in New England are starting to piss off Jerry. And if I was commissioner of the NFL, that Belichick would be holding clipboards on the sideline of a Canadian high school team. Spygate 2.0 will cost the Pats multiple draft picks and lots of cash.
100%. 100%.
I'm low on this.
You can't film the other team's coaches on the sidelines. This is 100 times worse than Deflategate.
It really is. It doesn't matter who sent them. The team, he was a team employee videotaping the coaches of the team they're about to play.
Yeah.
I don't care who sent you.
But by the way,
you have to, for optics alone, with that team, you got to hammer them.
If they've been doing this for Cincinnati, what on earth have they been doing for other teams? Everyone says they're so well coached and so well prepared. God knows what they've been doing. They've already been caught taping teams in the practice facility.
I kind of love it, though. Maybe they've got drones and stuff. Like,
who knows what they're doing?
But I don't trust Belichick. I don't trust him. I don't trust the Patriots. I don't trust anything
about
that operation.
Coach, and they always say, oh, watch after halftime. Watch the adjustments they make.
Yeah.
No kidding, because they go in there and they watch hand signals and figure out what the hell's going on.
I'm
going
to say 100%, too. I think the optics alone... So even if you get to the bottom of it, that Belichick had nothing to do with it and it wasn't going to get back to him, it's a Patriots employee videotaping the Bengals coaches.
So you're saying multiple draft picks?
It's multiple.
They've already been hammered for past transgressions.
Right.
This team has a target on their back to begin with. And you know the other owners hate New England.
Yeah.
They hate Belichick. They hate Kraft because of the success they've had. You think Jerry Jones is just going to sit there and say, let him off the hook? He's going to be like, fire the book at these guys.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be...
You're 100%?
Yeah. I guess you're either 100 or zero. There's no in between.
I'm 100.
I guess I'm 100. I thought it was... No, you know what? I'm going zero.
Okay. It could be one pick. It could just be money.
Right. It could just be like, we're fining you $1 million. Don't ever do that again.
Okay.
Doubt it, though.
Al's brother?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty high. 99% leave the 1% difference for maybe it's just a first-round pick.
Yeah.
But definitely, they're gonna something's going to come down
on
them.
Rinsed.
It's the second offense, too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, man. No, so. And if you throw in Deflategate and all that, it's multiple offenses. Any more over there?
Yep. The Raptors will make an NBA Finals appearance before the Clippers.
Ooh. I like that one. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all.
I'm going to go 25% because I don't know if you get there, and I don't think you get through Milwaukee and Giannis without elite talent like Kawhi.
What if Giannis is here in 2 years?
Yeah.
What if the Clippers don't get there in the next 2 years?
By the way, that's so much tampering talking about even the idea of that.
Well,
it's like
there's a lot of tampering. It's the league of tampering. That's all the NBA does.
Anyway, I think I'm 25%. I know that the East could be wide open.
Yeah.
The Raps could get it done, but
I'm going to say 50%. Who's to say Kawhi's going to be healthy in April?
Yeah.
Like, who? I don't know if he's going to play. 50%.
NBA.
It's not only this year. It's just in general.
Yeah.
It's an open-ended take.
You're going against the field, though. That's.
But not really. You're going against one team. It's the Clippers or the Raptors. Which one's going to get there first?
Okay. 48%. Close.
I'm going to go 51% on this one.
I like it.
Just jamming you out.
The game.
That sneaky little
one over.
You know what over there.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Al's brother.
We got one more?
Yep, go ahead.
Milan Lucic is red hot, and he'll score at least 10 goals this season.
85%.
How many does he have in the year now?
Three.
I mean, he's red hot right now, but seven more. It's not, I mean,
so
for him.
He's gotten a role. He's got some confidence. He can score 10 goals. I wish I was in a position where all I was asked to get 10
for
goals.
For six.
He's playing with Goudreau right now, too. I'm sure that's helping a little bit.
$6 million. Can you give us 10? It's a Jerry. It's an Al's Brothers percentage. I don't know if he's getting
100%.
There.
10 goals.
You can't say 100%. You can't. Dude,
okay.
This guy spent a year and a half. He scored like one goal in the NHL.
92%.
Oh, all right.
Good number.
Thanks.
I don't think he's hitting 10. I'm going to like he didn't score the first what, 20 something games?
Yeah.
Like he could go on a 50 game cooler right now.
He may
end with 3. He might.
Well, he scored all 3 goals in the last like 3 or 4 games,
yeah,
hasn't
four
he?
4 games. Yeah.
I'm going to say 30% he hits
92%.
10.
71%.
All right.
I'm on the other side.
Okay.
I'll go 48%.
Al's brother, spectacular job.
Thank you.
You love the turtleneck?
He's just dying over here.
Is it hot in here?
I'm getting ready to take it off. It's tight in here.
Well, we appreciate the dedication, Jerry. I hope he's paying you appropriately. It was great. I mean, it's too bad Jerry couldn't make an appearance. I don't know when we're ever going to hear from Jerry again.
Well, he's not feeling well.
Is he here next week, though? I don't know if Jerry can be found next week or the week after that.
God only knows.
We'll see.
If he's not feeling well, he will not participate.
Yeah. Check his contract.
You speak on behalf of Jerry?
I do, because I know him. He's told me if I don't feel good and my voice isn't up to it, I can't be in there yelling and screaming like an idiot.
All right. Okay. I didn't know that Jerry had spoken to you.
Yeah.
I speak
a
lot.
We're going to check Jerry's contract. We're checking Jerry's contract to make sure he's going to be in here.
I love it.
It's all good.
Okay, it's all good. Good to see Al's brother. We might see you for Al's brother after dark. One more horny hot take from Al's brother.
He can do it from his booth, too, and get really horny.
Yeah, okay. Rod Black from Scotiabank in about a half an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the President's Cup is officially underway down in Australia. And Tiger out there with Justin Thomas, they are one up early into the match. Feeling it down there. The captain, the player himself, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on down there. The Golf Report brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Enjoy all the winter classics at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Hurry in for great rates and a holiday bonus during the My Subaru Gave to Me holiday event.
Man, that Patrick Reed brought some attention on himself for those shenanigans and
blatantly cheating.
Yeah, so it's like, what the hell's he been doing in the woods for 10 years when nobody sees him? There's no camera. And apparently, the report on him in college, he was loose with the rules. It's
that's my spirit
animal. Is it
that
big of a deal? Like, he dusts off a little bit of sand.
It is for these guys.
Jamie,
he gave himself a better lie.
He shovel scooped two loads of sand behind his golf ball.
Look, it didn't look that bad to me. It was a couple like, hey, let's just move this out of the way. Was,
question is, I don't care. You go ahead and do that. You got caught. You got a two-stroke penalty. You denied it like a loser. What have you been doing for 10 years on tour? I can't even imagine what that guy does in the woods.
I can tell you what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's doing what I do in the woods.
Fluff it?
Oh, fluff and punch. The fluff and punch.
So he goes in with he's got the hole in his pocket. He drops the ball out of his leg.
I love Found it. A fluff and punch in the woods. It is the move.
I saw your game and I realized what kind of golfer you are because you do a little fluff and you do
a fluff and punch.
I know he's not on the tour. You're not strong enough to hit a 5-iron from 190 to a green in the rough.
I am.
No, you're not.
If I catch a flyer? No, dude, a flyer out of the...
That's what you do. You fluff the golf ball to catch a flyer. You can't dig it out and muscle it there.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't even attempt a 5-iron and deep rough. Like, what am I playing, a Bethpage?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd have a 4-wood out, and I'd spray one.
You fluff it in the rough, and I saw it the first time we played together, and that's when I realized that's your game.
That's my game. But I'm not on tour. Like,
I get it.
I'm not getting paid
still,
to do it.
The idea of playing by the rules of golf. As soon as I see a guy fluff it in the rough, I'm like,
I always get worked up.
Yeah, it's a greasy move.
It's so greasy.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. If we're playing for money or something like that, you play by the rules.
So look me right in the eye right now.
I've never.
Have you ever played a $10 match and you fluffed it?
Never.
Oh, he lies.
He's lying, Ted.
Once you fluff
it in the rough, you get an appetite for it, and you never stop. That's the way you play.
It is very appetizing. It's very satisfying. Do you want to? I'm going to play a clip for you. Apparently, the Blue Jays, the flexibility, it's all coming together. They're aggressive. They're flexible.
Nice.
There are reports online indicating that they have signed a pitcher. Do you want to hear who they signed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
Tanner Roark.
He gets his tits lit all the time.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
No, that's Keith Hernandez.
Oh, Hernandez, that's right.
It was like an out of town scoreboard. They're like, man, that Roark, he's really getting lit up.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
Well, he's coming to Toronto to get his tits lit in Toronto in the AL East.
Yeah. Well, they've stepped out and they're going after him.
It's basically it essentially cancels off Garrett Cole. Cole to the Yankees, Roark to the Jays. We're even. Yep, it's all good. It's all good.
This Al's brother's getting a lot of love online.
Well, he deserves a lot of love.
People snapping photos.
Yep.
The turtleneck is what did it.
Well, it's a good look.
That should be on the cover of a magazine. Toronto Life. Al's brother.
You want influential? That is an influential look.
Yeah.
Right there. So Roark was 10-10 with a 4.35 ERA, 31 starts a year ago. So he comes in, he fills in your rotation. He's not an ace. He's nowhere close to it. He's a 3 or a 4 at best.
And by the way, that was their intention the whole time. They were never big game hunting. They talked a big game.
Well, they'll come home and say, we got somebody. We signed somebody.
No kidding. They even said, we can't go out there with the same roster we had last year. Here you go. Here's Tanner Roark.
More than one person.
Yeah, there's got to be more than that.
There's got to be more of an effort.
Rod Black from the arena ahead of the game tonight. We'll tee it up next.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.